ध्यायामोदबलावकुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं अन्धस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीमदसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकाम् ईश्वरीम्। Yeah, we'll discuss the first 11 names. So actually, the Lalita Sahasranama, the 1000 names are split into different categories. So, for example, the 8th to 11th Nama, like Raga Swarupa Pashadhyaya, Krodhakara Ankushojwala, and the rest, that speak about the weapon that Devi uses. So the first 11 is generic description of Devi, and then till the 52nd Nama. To the 52nd Nama, if I am right, 52nd Nama, Devi's form in general has been described. And then the rest like goes about Devi's nature, what does Devi do, what does a person get and all. So it's not that important to analyze or remember that, okay, these Nama or till the 52nd Nama, Devi's generic form has been described, because the goal behind worship, behind chanting the name, is different, at least our goal. So generally, Lalita Sahasranama, as Amma says, the person who chants Lalita Sahasranama daily, he'll benefit from, he will have no lack of clothes, food, and the basic needs what's required. And then, even as like the Dhyana Shloka and many other shlokas have explained, and Shankara explains in the work Saundari Lahari, where he speaks about Devi, which is very similar to Lalita Sahasranama. Kamadhai Namaha. So, Kamadha means a person, like whatever kamam, whatever desire a person has, and with that desire, if he worships Devi, if he chants the name of Devi, 1000 names of Devi, then he will get that. So whatever is required or whatever is sought out by a person chanting, that will be achieved. And so in Saundari Lahari, Shankara goes one step beyond and he says that the difference between Devi, the difference between that Devi who is worshipped in the Tantra and Lalita Sahasranama, Lalita Trishati and all, and other gods, is that other gods will give what is being sought. So if you go to worship Vishnu and then ask that, okay, I want this particular thing, then he will give you that. But for Devi, you don't even need to ask. So, Ichcha Phala Prabhai or something similar name is there. So that is that. Devi, with respect to Devi, Devi is different in that we just need to think in our mind. So the moment we think about something, what we want, then Devi will immediately give it. So we don't need to ask. So that is how Shankara defines it. So it all depends on what a person asks. And the main goal of chanting Lalita Sahasranama is to gain purity of mind, Chitta Shuddhi. And also, like, if a person knows the meaning of the work, meaning of each of the Nama that he is chanting, then it will be more fruitful, that he will be able to equate it to the Vedantic scriptures, the Upanishad, Gita, Brahma Sutra, etc. And then he will be able to attain that goal of moksha. So moksha is the ultimate goal that is to be sought by a seeker who wants real benefit out of Lalita Sahasranama. So Amma herself says, gives an analogy that a person goes to a king. He goes to a king and then he asks for a nickel, the least valuable coin. He goes and asks to the king. So the king will become angry. So it is not worth for that person to go to the king and ask very small petty things. So if you go to the king, you'll have to ask at least a gold coin. So it's like going to Bill Gates and asking him for $1. It's very cheap, it's not worthy. Similarly, Devi is capable of granting. Devi is capable of bestowing moksha or eternal bliss to a person. So when that Devi is capable of giving that, it is not worth to go and ask for other things. So even as Krishna says that, Ananya Shintayam Toma Yejana Pariyupasate Tesha Nityabhyukthanam Yogakshemam Mahamyam. So whoever worships me with Ananya Bhajanam, I'll take care of Tesha Nitya Abhyukthanam Yogakshemam Mahamyam. Yogam and Kshemam. So Yogam means whatever he needs, and Kshemam, well-being. So if a person worships Devi seeking moksha, then all other benefits will automatically be granted by Devi. So it is not required to ask for other benefits. So if we worship Devi and then ask for moksha, then Devi will ensure that we get the basic needs of life. So there will not be any time when a person will not have his basic needs satisfied or fulfilled. Therefore, we need to worship Devi, chant Lalita Sahasranama to gain moksha. So it is moksha is the goal, and the sadhana that we are doing is chanting of Lalita Sahasranama. So it purifies the mind, chitta shodhakam, mukti sadhakam. So when a person worships the Lalita Sahasranama with the knowledge that the Devi who is praised in Lalita Sahasranama is nothing but the Nirguna Parabrahman that is proclaimed in the scriptures, then such a person will benefit. Such a person will be able to gain the real benefit of purification of the mind as well as moksha, because he is mixing karma and jnanam together. He is associating Brahman to the normal sadhana of chanting Lalita Sahasranama. Well, if a normal person chants Lalita Sahasranama without remembering Brahman, then he will gain purity of mind, he will gain worldly benefits, he will gain whatever he wants, but he won't gain moksha because the jnanam aspect is missing. But once we know that this the nama, each of the nama stands for Nirguna Parabrahman, then the person will benefit from moksha as well. So in many of the namas that Lalita Sahasranama has, that equate Devi with Nirguna Parabrahman. So it's the same thing. Only thing is, it is Sagunam in form. So Saguna Bhajanam or Saguna Ishvara and Nirguna Ishvara, or Ishvara and Parabrahman. So any form Ishvara Bhajanam is prescribed by scriptures for initial sadhakas who are unable to contemplate on Brahman. So sadhakas who are in advance, sadhakas who are still have the association with the body, they cannot contemplate on Nirguna Brahman. Therefore, they are prescribed a particular form. So even as Krishna says that, Klesho adhigatarastesham avyaktasakta chetasam avyaktahi gatir dukkam dehavadvir avapyate. Klesho adhigataraha. Klesham is more. For people who do avyakta bhajanam. Avyakta means not clear, undifferentiated. Undifferentiated is Nirguna Brahman. So people who worship Nirguna Brahman, for them obstacles are more. It is tough for them because they are dehavadbihi. For people who dehavadbihi, who have association with the body, who haven't got over the body or the feeling that I am the body. So I am the body notion, as long as it is strongly there, a person will not be able to contemplate on a formless God. But if a person worships a particular form, remembering that the form stands for Brahman, so it's also, in a way we can say, it is almost same as Pratika Dhyanam. So there is a form attributed to Nirguna Parabrahman. So the form stands for Nirguna Parabrahman. If that is kept in mind, then even the form worship would lead to Nirguna Parabrahman. So Yetu Sarvani Karmani Mai Sanyasya Matparaha Ananyeneva Yogena Mam Dhyayanta Upasate तेषाम अहम समुद्रता मृत्यु संसार सागरा भवामी नजिरात पात मई आवेश चेतसा. सो कृष्णा सेज दैट ए पर्सन what is he also briefly explains as to what is nirguna saguna ishvara bhajanam. So yetu sarvani karmani, he who sarvani karmani mai sanyasya matparaha, sarvani karmani mai sanyasya, who offers all actions unto me, and matparaha means who is always focused on me, who considers me as the ultimate goal. Me with me means me with form. Ananyenaiv yogena, with ananya yogam means ananya bhajanam, associating the form with each and every thought, each and every action that is performed. Mam dhyayanta upasate, who worship me, who have ananya bhajanam and who worship me in that way. So ananya bhajanam doesn't mean that there shouldn't be any thoughts, because it is impossible to be in the world without worldly thoughts, without. If we have just the thought of Brahman, then we will not be able to do any activity, because at the worldly level, if we have to act, there has to be thought propelling that particular action. So ananya bhajanam or ananya yogam only means that with every thought, whatever thought we have, the thought of Devi also is associated with it. It's like telling that different processes are running, but there is a basic process, explorer.exe, or the system background process, that is the base for all thoughts. So though any thought or any process is run, the base process still remains. So whatever be the thought of Devi, the thought of offering to Devi, that is there, that is called Ananya Bhajanam. And for people who have this, then Tesham, for those people, I am, Samuddharta Mritya Samsara Sagarat, I am the person helping them. I am their savior from Mrityu Samsara Sagarat. From Mrityu Samsara Sagaram. From the Samsara Sagaram, the ocean of Samsara. From Mrityu. And Bhavami, I become their savior. Nachirat, na chirat. Chiram means in long time. Nachirat. Nachirat means very soon, not long, but very soon. So Nachirat. Bhavami Nachirat Partha. Why? Mai aveshita chetasam, because their chetas, their mind is aveshitam, mai aveshitam, has merged onto me. Their mind is completely merged into me, their mind is fixed onto me, therefore I become their savior. So if a person worships a particular form, then he need to remember that the form stands for Brahman, that is to be remembered, and he has to always remember the form and do all actions as an offering to the form. And it becomes more easier if that form is superimposed on all the objects that is seen. So a person remembers that whatever he sees is that form. So he sees any particular form as standing for the form. So when he sees a computer, he knows that this is the form of Vishnu. It is a different form called computer, but it is Vishnu alone. So he ascribes Vishnu to each and every entity that is perceived, that is seen, that is heard through any of the sense organs. So when that is done, that is real Saguna Bhajanam. When that such a Saguna Bhajanam, remembering that Saguna Ishvara stands for Parabrahman, Nirguna Parabrahman, that will in turn finally, gradually, like the way is that when only that thought is maintained and no, a person knows that that form is Nirguna Parabrahman, then that form is perceived everywhere. When it is perceived everywhere, then the illusions, the duality in the mind vanishes. When duality in the mind vanishes, then it leads to non-dual perception. That non-dual perception in turn will lead to aparokshanubhavam or realization or moksha. So that's how Saguna Bhajanam will lead to Nirguna Parabrahman, or the final moksha. But if the bhajanam is properly lacking, when there is no ananya bhajanam, when the form is not seen everywhere, when there is no offering, when it is not there, ananya bhajanam is not there, then it means that such a bhajanam will not help in moksha. It will lead It will help in all worldly benefit, material benefits, but it will not lead to moksha. Similarly, if that particular form is not considered to be Nirguna Brahman, a person doesn't understand that I am worshipping this form because I am not eligible to see the original, then also it might not lead to Nirguna Brahman. So it may, like if the bhajanam is, Ananya bhajanam is there, then there will be a time when Ishvara himself, that particular form itself will come in front of the person, come in front of the bhakta and say that, come on, this is, now you have to change. You think that this form is real, but this form is not real, Nirguna Brahman. So Ananya bhajanam is a very important aspect. But if we are able to remember that the form stands for Nirguna Brahman, for formless Brahman, then it becomes more easier. So Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa was an ardent devotee of Devi, and he was so attached to the form of Devi. Though like this particular incident in his life is not that popular, and most of the sannyasis in Ramakrishna mission, they don't propagate this story because it leads to Nirguna Bhakti, which is very tough for normal people. So Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa was so attached to Devi that he refused to negate Devi. He refused to consider that form also as an illusion. So whatever be the state, whatever be the form, that form is also an illusion. It's as illusory as any form in the world. But the reason why that particular form leads us to Nirguna Brahman or Moksha is because of our Ananya Bhajanam, which in turn will make us realize that the form stands for Brahman. So if the form standing for Brahman, that part is left, that part is forgotten, then it won't lead to Brahman. So Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa refused to negate Devi, the form of Devi. So there is nothing that the negation doesn't mean that we have to just get rid of all forms and worship Nirguna Brahman. There is nothing wrong in worshipping a particular form. It's only when we don't understand that the form stands for Brahman, we refuse to accept that it stands for Nirguna Brahman, which means that it is as illusory as any other form, that's when the problem starts. So Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa like refused to remove the form and consider Nirguna Brahman as ultimate, and therefore Devi sent, it is the story goes that, the incident, real incident goes that Devi sent his guru Totapuri. Totapuri, he was a sannyasi of Advaita tradition, so Totapuri, so one of the Dashanami sannyasi, Puri. So that's the reason why like Gautama Ananda, he is Gautama Ananda Puri, and like since Amma Swamiji's have sannyasam, got their sannyasa diksha from a sannyasi from Ramakrishna mission, therefore they also come as Puri. So that's why Amrita Swarupa Ananda Puri, that Puri part comes. So Totapuri, who was Ramakrishna Paramahamsa's Advaita Guru, he came and then he told Ramakrishna Paramahamsa to imagine a mirror, a small mirror in between his eyebrow, and then to bring the form of Devi there. And with his yogic power, Totapuri shattered the mirror. And when the mirror got shattered, then the form of Devi became all pervasive. And then Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa realized that this particular form is only a limitation. It can never limit Ishvara. Even if Ishvara is Sagunam or Sakaram with a form, that form, if Ishvara has to be Sarvajnan and Sarvavyapi, then the form cannot limit Ishvara. Therefore, the form has to be all everywhere. If the form is everywhere, then that means it is basically formless. And though he realized that Ishvara or Devi is ultimately Nirgunam, though he still used to worship Devi's form, but after that he realized that form God or form Ishvara is not real. The real Ishvara is Nirgunam. So it's very important to remember that particular aspect. And then, so the form that is worshipped here is that of Devi. So Tripura Sundari, we have already discussed, right? Yeah, so we can, like, there are different ways to explain it, but you can go through any of the form we may also come across the form of Devi, but Tripura Sundari is also like Tripura Sundari. So the beauty who resides in Tripuram. So that means that it's also Vedantic interpretation of Puram would be that Puram stands for house, or it can be state. So that beauty, that Devi, that goddess who resides in the three Puram, in the three states of Jagrat, Supna and Sushupti. And that which remains in Jagrat, Supna and Sushupti is the Atman in the Turiyavastha. So that's the Atman, the Sakshi Atman who resides in all the three. So that means Devi is Atman or Brahman who resides, who is the Sakshi in all the three states. And it also means that Devi is a merging of the Trinities. So the Trinities belong with their pair. So when all the Trinities merge, Sattva, Rajas, Tamas merge, then we get Devi. So when Sattva, Rajas and Tamas are in equilibrium, when they are in equilibrium, then that is the state called as Guna Atitam, as Krishna says in the 14th chapter, Guna Atitam. That is the state when a person is beyond the Gunam. So the starting of Gunam is like before the Gunas became active. In the concept of Gunam, capable of like controlling activities, controlling things, is that one of the Gunam is predominant. So in any object, anything, any person we take, there will be Sattvam, Rajas and Tamas. All the three will be there, but one of them will be predominant. So that's the reason why, like if a person who is sleeping will have Tamas as well as Rajas and Sattva, but Tamas will be predominant. So therefore it will be more seen than Rajas and Sattva. So the state before this is the state when Sattva, Rajas, Tamas is in equilibrium. And that equilibrium state is called Guna Atitam, a person who is beyond the Gunas. A person who knows that he cannot be touched by the Gunas. So when the Trinities merge together, that is the state of the equilibrium of Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. That means it is a state of Guna Atitam, it is a state of Brahman. So you can go on explaining or trying to explain in many ways as to how Devi is the same as Parabrahman, but it's quite simple to understand that. And Bhaskara Raya in his commentary, he speaks about two types of Brahman. He calls, one is called Sakala Brahman and one is Nishkalam. So Sakalam means, Kalam means with parts. Nishkalam means without parts. So any form will have parts. So there is one form God and then formless God. So formless God is the ultimate goal, but it is achieved through form God through the worship of Lalita Sahasranama. So Lalita Sahasranama speaks about a particular form called Tripura Sundari or Devi or Lalitambika, and that form stands for Nirguna Brahman. So many of the Namas also point to Nishkalam or Nishkalaye Namaha, Nirgunaye Namaha, Gunavivarjitaye Namaha. So many of the Namas speak about Devi as Nishkalam. Some of the Namas speak about Devi as Sakalam. So Mano Rupeshu Kodanda means Devi should have a form, hand, in order to hold the weapon. That means she has a part. So these, like, the Namas can be broadly split into Sakalam and Nishkalam, but whenever we are learning about Sakala Namam, we should remember that it is for the particular form. That form stands for Nirguna Brahman. Ma gives a beautiful example while denoting that. If we have a portrait of our grandfather, laminated portrait in our house, whenever we see that, we will remember our grandfather. So though our grandfather is not there and the portrait is done by somebody else, still we remember our grandfather. So the grandfather is not there directly. Similarly, the particular form of Devi stands for Brahman. So the moment we see the form of Devi, we should remember that, okay, this stands for Nirguna Parabrahman. So even as we remember that while seeing a portrait, we don't remember that, we don't completely acknowledge the fact that it is just a portrait. The first thing that comes to our mind is that it is our grandfather. So we should remember the formless God while worshipping any form. So So remembering that, like, you can go through the commentary yourself. So we'll not enter into the commentary. So the first 11 namas we'll see today. And many of the namas, Bhaskara Raya gives a lot of explanation for the namas. We won't enter into all those explanations. We'll just see the very basic, or what we need to know, or what I think is right, and then you can go through and analyze, and then we can later discuss. So the first namam is Sri Mata. So rather, the first three namam is Sri Mata, Sri Maharajni, and Sri Matsimha Sineshwari. So these three namas together denote, briefly, it denotes the sattva, rajas, and tamas aspect of Devi. So Sri Mata. Sri Mata means that Devi, who is the mother, motherly nature or motherly quality, is something in which sattva is predominant. So mother is one who has sattva predominant. Therefore, Sri Mata stands for the sattva aspect of Devi. It is our invocation of the sattva aspect of Devi. Since Devi or Sattva Sundari is conscious of the three, sattva, rajas, tamas, the trinity, all the trinity, so Sri Mata denotes that Devi who has sattva in predominance. So we can concentrate or contemplate on any particular guna of Devi, or that Devi who has a particular guna. But again, while worshipping on the guna, even like worshipping in a form, we should remember that we can worship the Rajogunam Devi, but we should remember to understand, or we should remember that the Guna Devi stands for Nirgunam. So essentially Devi is Nirgunam, but for us, for our easy contemplation, we can consider Devi as a particular Gunam. It may be tough to contemplate on Nirguna Devi, but it will be very easy to contemplate on a Devi as a mother, because then we'll be able to easily remember her. Even as we will easily be able to remember our mother, talk to her, or like easily interact with her. Similarly, if we consider Devi as Mata, as our mother, then it will be easy to always remember. Whenever we are in trouble, we will say, "Oh mother, help me." Whenever we are happy, we will say, "Oh mother, I am very happy." So it's very easy to remember. As for some people, rather than motherly nature, they would need Rajogunam. So that is why the second namam of Sri Maharajni. So Sri Mata denotes the sattva aspect of Devi, Sri Maharajni. So the word meaning is Maharajni means that Devi who is the ruler of the entire world. So greatest ruler, Maharajni, the greatest ruler of the entire world. So ruling or activity means it is Rajam. So it is Rajoguna Pradhanam. And so Sri here, like we can say that Sri is a kind of one way of telling that Devi has all Aishwaryam. She has all the Ashta Aishwaryam, Animadi Siddhis, all she has. And that it is a way of showing respect also. We can consider it as either showing respect, or that Devi has all Aishwaryam. Devi is complete. Aishwaryam means Animadi Siddhis, doesn't mean that means like any yogi can gain Animadi Siddhis. But the difference is that here Devi is perfect. So it's not just Animadi Siddhis, Aishwaryam, but she has everything. So she is Purnam. That is the meaning of Sri. So Sri Mata denotes the sattva aspect, Sri Maharajni, greatest ruler of the entire world. So that denotes Rajoguna aspect. And if we analyze the mantra more, or the particular nama more, then Devi has to be the controller of the world, because Devi is the creator of the world. So Devi is the Ishvara who creates the world. Devi is that Ishvara who with her own power of Maya creates the world out of herself. So since Devi is the creator of the world, one who is creating something, he controls the creation. That is the reason why parents in general try to control their children. They try to control their children because they are the creator. They are their creator. So whatever we create, we would want to control it. We will want to control, but parents forget that it's the sentient principle which they don't create, but which is created by another entity called Ishvara. So since that aspect they don't take into consider it, therefore they think that they can control. But in general, whatever we create, we'll be able to control. And unlike the worldly cases where we create and things go out of control, like we create robots and robots go out of control, all those things, like if you analyze or if you go through the various underworld dons and all, you can always find that people who are under them, under a particular don, they will come out and then they will revolt against such the person because of opinion differences and all those things. But here in Devi's creation, nothing can go out of control because Devi, the power of Maya, which controls the entire world, that is under the control of Devi. So unlike our normal case where we don't consider another, but the power of Maya, which we don't control. Since we don't control Maya, therefore we can't control our own creation. But our own creation is not entirely our creation. It has Maya as well, part of it. But Devi controls Maya. Since Devi controls Maya, therefore she totally controls the entire world. And since she controls the entire world, therefore she is the greatest ruler. A ruler is one who is supposed to control, who is supposed to ensure well-being of the people under him. And Devi is the best person to do that. And unlike other rulers, Devi is the greatest ruler because one, she completely controls and she always ensures that the beings that is created, that are created by her, are well. So we cannot say that, okay, a normal person, a beggar, is suffering a lot. That suffering is not because of Devi, because Devi has given him whatever he wants, whatever is required for a person to be well, materially and spiritually as well. Devi has given. For material benefits, Devi has given some capabilities of the mind and the intellect, and for spirituality, Devi has given the strong intellectual conviction. But we don't use it. So it's our fault that we are suffering. It's not because of Devi. Devi is always wanting to ensure that her creation is completely in bliss. So there is a song in Amma's bhajan that Oru pole kannada chidilla madhavan karayadirikkilla nammayorthu. So the song is that Krishna, when we are sleeping, Krishna is always awake. He is always awake and he doesn't close his eyes even for 1 second because he wants our well-being. So it can be interpreted in two ways. One is that Ishvara wants us to be good at all times, but it is we who make ourselves lead ourselves into various troubles or sorrows. And the second is that Ishvara, as the Sakshi, is always awake when we means the Jiva, is sleeping in Sushupti Avastha. But whatever be it, Devi ensures that each and every person is well, but it is we who change it. So therefore Devi is apt to be called as Maharajni, or the greatest ruler that is possible. And then the third Nama, Sri Mat Simhasaneshwari, Sri Mat Simhasaneshwari. So Srimat means it's like Mat is another, like instead of calling just Sri, Srimat is also another kind of respectful word that is used in Sanskrit. And Simhasaneshwari. So this Simhasanam, so Devi who is in the throne which has the form of lion. So that's all the throne, most of the thrones like that kings sit, that will have a lion symbol on the top. So Devi is sitting in such a throne which has lion symbol. So here lion, all this is also like denoting the tamo aspect of Devi. So direct meaning we can take that she is sitting in a throne which has a shape of lion. And then the better interpretation is Simhasanam. So Simha Asanam means her asanam is Simham. So Simha Asanam can be interpreted as like the asanam has the shape of Simham, or Simham itself is an asanam. So Devi, there are various like tamo aspect of Devi, various Chamundi, Kali and all, who ride in line. So the travel thing is a line. So Devi is sitting on the line. Devi, I worship that Devi. So that Ishwari, that Srimad Ishwari, that goddess, that ruling goddess who has Simhasanam. So who is in the Simhasanam, who is on the line, whose asanam is a line and who controls the line. So the lion as well as Devi, this aspect denotes Ugrabhavam. Ugrabhavam is used for destruction. So unlike the normal tapas, which denotes lack of activity, lack of energy, here real tamas is destruction. And it is not destruction of a particular person, but it is a destruction of the evil qualities in a person, destruction of the ego. So Amma herself has said that the sword of Kali doesn't denote killing a person, but it denotes killing of the ego. So that is the so this like Simhasanam in general means destroying bad people, which means the tamo aspect of Devi. So from Vedantic aspect, we can say Sri Mata, motherly attribute, means that Devi is a refuge for a person. So that means a real bhakta is always going towards Devi, whatever be it that he wants. So he always takes resort to Devi. And Sri Maharajniya means Devi controls our mind. Devi helps in controlling our mind and diverting it in the right direction so that we are towards realization. And Simhasaneshwari means Devi not only is our refuge or our controller of the mind, but she is the destroyer of the bad qualities of the mind, including ego. So that's the way, would be the Vedantic interpretation. The normal interpretation is the Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. So I worship, I prostrate, I offer my prostration to that Devi who is either Sattvam or Rajas or Tamas. And for a Sadhaka, she may be all the three at some point of time, or all the three at all times. That means, oh, Sattva Devi, if for a person who is an ardent Devi Bhakta, he'll think, okay, Devi is, that Sattva Devi is always there to protect me, to help me as my refuge for whatever I want. And the Rajo Devi is ensuring that my mind is in proper shape, is properly controlled. And Tamo Devi ensures that it's not just in control, but it doesn't have bad qualities. So all the three Devis, like Devi, like Sattva, Rajas, Tamas, different types of gunas of Devi, do protect me at all times. So that is the simplest way of explaining it. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll have some time.